咁下一個議程咧，就第四項係有關個多用途嘅綜合體育館。咁呢個體育館嘅概念咧，就喺啟德規劃嘅第一階段裏邊，大家都喺公眾參與裏邊曾經有機會係讓公眾表達過一啲意見嘅。咁喺個主流嘅意見裏邊咧，都即係你可以講話唔係好反對一個咁嘅概念。咁亦都有人係會支持一個咁嘅多用途嘅綜合體育館。咁但係由於咧佢始終都係一個好大規模嘅發展嚟嘅。咁同埋咧都係引起公眾嘅好大程度上面嘅關注。咁所以今次咧我哋又請到民政事務局嘅趙婉珠副秘書長啦，係亦都參加我哋嘅會議。咁多謝Lolly 啊，咁同埋冼柏榮先生啊，咁亦都係民政事務局嘅。咁我了解就你會先幫我哋介紹一下政府嘅概念裏面啊，一個多用途嘅綜合體育館嗰個發展係個概念係點樣啊？咁然後大家委員會可以再做一啲嘅討論同埋一啲諮詢。咁係咪 Lolly 你會講先啊？好，
多謝主席各位委員就。或者我先講講，就係喺目前民政事務局對於呢一個概念係點樣嘅睇法。其實呢幾年嚟咧，香港嘅體育發展咧，可以講得係相當嘅蓬勃嘅。咁我哋喺記得就係大家都好津津樂道嘅，就係早兩年皇馬足球賽，全香港人都好高興睇到。近期嘅七人欖球賽嘅世界盃，亦都係吸引到好多海外嘅觀眾同埋香港嘅觀眾。咁喺世界嘅大型嘅賽事，譬如好似喺2004年嘅奧運，我哋香港都有攞到個銀牌。咁我哋亦都係成功爭取咧，係攞到呢個東亞運動會喺2009年喺香港嘅主辦嘅權。咁呢種種嘅發展咧，亦都睇到咧，我哋喺體育嗰方面咧係應該係有增無益嘅。咁喺今年，我哋亦都成立咗個體育事務委員會 （Sports Commission）。咁呢個 Sports Commission 咧，亦都定立咗我哋未來嘅發展方向，可以係分開三方面。我哋係想體育咧係普及化、精英化同埋盛事化。所謂普及化咧，我哋係鼓勵多啲嘅青少年、多啲嘅市民咧係參與體育運動，強身健體，令到社會係更加健康。提高我哋嘅體育嘅文化，亦都係等於提高我哋嘅健康。精英化咧，我哋係更加係支持精英運動員嘅訓練，支持佢哋出去參加大型嘅賽事，好似亞運啊、奧運啊呢啲嘅，為香港係增光，令到香港人都增加一份榮譽感，令到我哋香港咧喺世界各地咧都有我哋知道我哋嘅。有呢個存在同埋我哋嘅發展嘅情況。盛事化咧，就係我哋想喺香港辦多啲好似七人欖球賽 （Rugby Seven） 呢類嘅賽事，吸引多啲嘅即係旅遊嘅人客嚟，或者同現時咧，香港其實有好多嘅內地遊客嚟到香港咧，佢哋除咗購物咧，都係好有興趣咧參加大型嘅賽事。咁我哋希望咧喺呢方面咧，推進香港嘅經濟發展有幫助。咁喺隨住呢三個方面嘅發展咧，我哋覺得呢個體育委員會同埋民政事務局咧都好肯定咧係需要係有一個大型嘅多用途嘅場館咧喺香港。香港作為一個世界級嘅城市，係實在係好需要嘅。目前咧，我哋知道澳門咧就做咗好多嘅新嘅建設，嚟到係準備今年咧10月，佢哋就係做主辦呢個東亞運動會。喺新加坡咧，佢哋亦都係咧好積極係籌備起一個大型嘅即係運動嘅場地。喺英國咧 ，Wembley 嗰個球場已經係重建做一個新嘅現代化啲嘅場地。咁喺倫敦攞到呢、這個。新的奧運主辦權咧，亦都好積極咁樣籌備新的場館，甚至喺杜拜咧，佢哋亦都係咧係一連串嘅新嘅設施咧，係建成一套4個嘅運動場地。 所以我哋覺得咧，香港如果作為一個世界級嘅城市，想喺體育方面咧係再發展嘅話咧，係實在係有好需要一個新嘅場館嘅。咁我請我同事咧再詳細係解釋一下我哋係對呢個概念嘅睇法。請 Daniel。
主席。咁頭先Lori 都作一個簡單嘅介紹啦。咁我哋希望呢個運動場館咧，可以作為香港嘅一個地標啦，同埋就希望可以聚集到唔同嘅體育活動咧，可以喺呢度舉行嘅。咁所以咧，令到市民咧可以更加多咁樣利用啟德呢笪地方咧嚟參與嘅體育活動。咁一個多用途嘅體育館咧，亦都可以提供一啲現代化同埋一啲優質嘅體育場地咧，而提供俾香港嘅精英運動員咧作為訓練用途，咁從而咧就希望可以更進一步咁提升香港精英運動員同埋普遍體育運動嘅水平咧。咁而一個多用途嘅體育館咧，亦都可以即係提供足夠嘅即係令到香港咧可以舉辦更加多嘅大型嘅體育盛事咧，咁其實即係就我哋近年咧同內地咧都好多嘅體育活動嘅交流，咁譬如話將來亦即除咗係更加多嘅機會參與咧，亦都可能有機會咧令到我哋可以舉辦一啲嘅全國性甚至係地區性活動咁樣嘅。咁除咗體育方面咧，其實一個多用途嘅體育館咧，亦都可以帶嚟好多其他嘅經濟嘅效益咧。咁例如咧，就除咗舉辦體育盛事之外咧，就一個多用途同埋現代化體育館，亦都可以即係令到我哋可以舉辦一啲例如係國際嘅大型會議啊，甚至係一啲嘅大型嘅一啲展覽嘅活動都可以嘅。咁呢啲咁嘅活動咧，就對香港包括旅遊業啊，同埋啲商業啊、貿易啊各方面咧都有好大嘅好處咁樣。咁當然一個即係現代化嘅體育場館咧，亦都有具備一啲嘅現代嘅建築嘅特色咧，因為亦都可以即係令到我哋有一個比較好啲嘅urban landscape 咁樣嘅。咁尤其是如果呢個喺東南九龍嘅地方咧，就即係會帶嚟一個新嘅利用到個 waterfront 嗰樣嘢咧，就一個更加新嘅面貌咁樣。咁當然即係喺一個東南九龍呢個地方嘅好處，亦都可以有助我哋係帶旺咗其他嘅地區咧，亦都即係帶嚟一個 rejuvenation 嘅效果嘅。咁我哋即係喺呢一方面，喺呢個前提底下咧，我哋都請咗顧問公司咧，就幫我哋做一個研究啦。咁其實咧，就喺我哋2001年嗰陣時咧，就已經 identify 到有一個需要咧，就需要一啲嘅大型嘅體育場館，亦都喺呢幾年咧喺一個城規會嗰度咧，亦都係喺個啟德北嘅發展大綱圖嗰度咧，就預留咗一笪地方咧，就做呢個體育場館嘅發展用途嘅。咁亦都即係大家喺個 phase one 嗰陣時咧，都傾過呢一個stadium 呢一個概念啦。咁而係因為咁多年嚟有啲嘅發展咧，所以我哋特別就請顧問公司咧就再睇一睇嗰陣時我哋嘅研究。咁咧就今日我哋都請咗顧問公司咧嚟幫我哋做一個簡報咁樣嘅。咁顧問公司咧就睇咗好多嘅海外嘅經驗啦，咁就即係總結咗一啲嘅建議咧，就一啲嘅睇法。咁希望喺今日呢個會咧就同大家交流一下，咁主要係圍繞幾個大嘅前提咧，譬如話，即係香港對於多用途大型體育館嘅需求咧，佢裏邊嘅主要設施應該包括，即係可以包括啲咩嘢咧咁樣，同埋個地點啊，同埋嗰個所需要嘅用地呢各方面咧，就都有少少嘅觀察咁樣嘅。咁其實我哋即係大致上咧，就一個初步嘅睇法咧，就係、是。香港如果是建設一個大型的體育館的時候，就可能要需要一個即可以接合式的一個的天幕的設計，還有呢就可以即拆得到的一些的草地啊咁樣嘅，咁亦都需要一個副場館和一些田徑用的 track 啦。咁我哋而家睇法呢，就大概嗰個capacity 呢，就最好呢就是在40,000-50,000這個 range 嗰度嘅。咁同埋即係有一啲嘅相應的一啲嘅運動設施咁樣啦。咁就至於裏面具體嘅內容咧，咁我哋可以喺個具體設計嗰陣時咧，就再即係加以討論咁樣。咁當然即係地區人士啊，或者社會各界咧，都可以就呢方面咧提供意見嘅。 咁至於嗰、那個location 咧，咁我哋就利用咗呢個東南九龍嘅發展咧，就認為呢一笪地方咧比較適合啦。就無論係佢一個嘅交通網絡啊，同埋嘅用地嗰、那個提供嗰度咧都有好處。咁而我哋都覺得咧，就一個24公頃嘅地方咧，就係、是比較適合嘅，因為佢除咗可以包括呢個主要場館、副場館同埋其他嘅設施之外咧，亦都可以提供土地咧，作為一啲嘅後勤嘅設施，例如係一啲嘅商場啊、酒店啊，或者係其他嘅娛樂設施都可以包埋嘅。咁或者即係呢個時候，我哋請顧問公司幫我哋介紹佢哋嗰個睇法咁樣。
咁民政事務局咧就有一隊嘅顧問公司係雅邦顧問公司啊，有Mr. Alan McDonald、Mr. Adam Walton 同埋汪慧儀小姐。咁想請問顧問公司係咪會跟住呢個 PowerPoint 同我哋講講
？Yes, I will, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. May I commence now?
Sure.
Thank you. I would point out that we've really been on the ground in this study just for a few weeks now, but we have assembled a significant amount of data. The 2001 study that was referred to earlier actually evaluated the need for a new stadium. The conditions at that time were very different, so I'd like to just go back over some of the things that have changed since that time. But overall, the purpose of our study, as commissioned by HAB, has been to look at whether there is in fact a need for a new multipurpose stadium in Hong Kong. And moreover, it has been suggested to identify specific locations where that might go. As you've heard, Kai Tak, it may be a preferred location. One fundamental question and a thorny question is what size should that stadium be? We are not attracting large numbers of events to Hong Kong, but we do get capacities at certain times, and there's been an increased tendency to bring in various feature games and matches that have attracted large-scale participation in sports events. A lot more can be done. Going on, looking at the changes since the last report, well, already you've just heard alluded the changes in policy that have occurred, which have been quite significant. One that you all know about is the changes to policies regarding reclamation. So clearly there's no option for us really to resort to reclamation, certainly within the Inner Harbour area, to construct a new stadium. One achievement that Hong Kong did get was to get the 2009 East Asian Games, which has been going to be hosted soon in Macau, and will obviously have to have facilities to suit that. In terms of international trends, we've done a detailed examination of international trends in world-class stadia. Certainly, the numbers of persons that are being accommodated in these stadia are certainly increasing, if the statistics we've gathered are anything to go by. But more importantly, what has happened is that the operators of stadium have looked for increased adaptability of these stadia. They've looked to them to be functioning for multi-purpose venues, multi-purpose events, to have flexibility for a whole range of events so that they can actually work on a viable basis and be flexible to public requirements. Moreover, stadiums are not just stadiums anymore. There's a lot of things attached to them. Very often they'll have hotels and other facilities attached to them to commercialize them and ensure that they work on an operating basis and on a viable basis. Now looking briefly at Hong Kong sports policy, this has already been outlined. Unfortunately, we're unsuccessful in getting the 2006 Asian Games, but that went to Qatar. And they're building a huge amount of sports infrastructure to cater for this, as well as upgrading their own stadium at Al Khalifa. One major policy change, of course, was the disbandment of the Sports Development Boards, and now we have Sports Institute Limited that's taken over a lot of its functions. And in recent trends, if one looks at the figures, certainly there's been an increased in attendance at the Hong Kong stadium. Now, the Sports Commission consists of three specific committees, and all of these have very, very different functions. They have responsibilities for developing strategies in sport, of course, because that's very important. But most importantly, and this is a new twist in sports policy in Hong Kong, is actually building up partnerships with different sectors in the sports industry to ensure that sports can be promoted, not just for the elite, but also for the community as a whole. The major sports events committee, and this is a real new dimension, is to actually set out the parameters and mechanisms by which major sports can be brought to and encouraged to come to Hong Kong, which is very, very important. And this committee provides advice on how financing can be actually procured for such events. And then finally, of course, we have an elite sports community committee. The committee is obviously very, very important for the development of sport in Hong Kong, and there are a lot of disciplines that are developing across the whole spectrum of sports in Hong Kong now. There's a huge growth in triathlon events, for example, and cycling events, and also with the victory of San San a few years ago in the Olympics, an increased interest in windsurfing. So there's really quite a significant increase in sports events in Hong Kong, but how to keep that interest going? Now, to realise sport for all and how a sporting facility might provide it, a new stadium can certainly facilitate this. It provides a focal point for the community and athletes together can actually come together to enjoy sports, to experience sports, and it also provides a sense of ownership of Hong Kong sports. So you have something to identify with. If it's not just simply a stadium, but a lot of things associated with it, the community can itself be encouraged to participate in sports. Now, major events, at the moment the Hong Kong Stadium doesn't have a high degree of flexibility to host other than ball games and a few other sports. We've also it's obviously restricted also in its capacity for a lot of other things, and I'm going to come back to that. Elite performance. If one can bring more elite games and sports to Hong Kong, you will then obviously increase interest in sports. A new stadium can facilitate that. Remember that the current Hong Kong Stadium does not have a running track associated with it. That was a deliberate choice made when the stadium was going to be built. Now, let's look at the need for the new stadium. Well, as I've said, it's not multi-use. You can't do a lot of things on the stadium base. There are serious design issues that prohibit the use of the stadium for a range of developments, and that in turn means lack of flexibility. We've got a real problem in the sense that the stadium has almost outgrown itself. It's now reached a point where it cannot actually expand anymore. We haven't got enough changing rooms. There aren't enough media facilities within the stadium. There isn't any green rooms that are now demanded by world-class athletes. So there's a lot of things that are missing from the current stadium. And I think also we must remember that stadium is getting a bit long in the tooth right now. It's now needing significant sums of money injected into it. Like, for example, there's a new audio system being injected into the stadium right now, which is absolutely necessary. More remedial measures will be necessary. So that brings us to the choice, a new multi-purpose stadium or maintain the existing stadium with the restrictions placed upon it. Of course, we have had the other issue, which is the locational issue. I think if anybody's been to the stadium, one knows certainly at major events the difficulties of getting to the stadium. And that in itself is a bit of a problem. Moreover, getting away from the stadium is the issue. Just want to look at stadium evolution. Stadia are changing all the time. The Hong Kong Stadium was built in the early 90s, and since then there's been a huge evolution in stadia. You go back to the original stadium in Greece, you can see it was a sort of lozenge shape. It had a very different function. It functioned certainly mainly track events and strength events. But then by 1936, the Berlin stadium, built for the Berlin Olympics, produced a very different type of stadium, a flat dish bowl type of stadium. By the Tokyo Olympics in 1964, that shape had changed again, and you had more acutely a tiered spectator provision, which provided a much better spectator experience. And you see in the bottom there, we've got the new Wembley Stadium, which is an absolute dish now, in the sense that spectatorship and spectator interaction with events is very, very important within the overall design, and this is being implemented right now, as has been mentioned earlier. Looking at some international trends, let's look at, say, English soccer, for example. What the pattern has been is that you can see quite clearly from these statistics that over the years there's been a significant increase in the amount of spectatorship at live events. This has been very beneficial to the game. This is not just this doesn't just simply apply to English soccer. This happens also in other parts of Europe. We're seeing increases in spectatorship right the way through Europe, increases in spectatorship at various events in the USA. Looking to the average sort of stadium size that you get, this tends to vary according to location. In the Netherlands, the average stadium size is relatively small, but having said that, so is the population. England tends to have rather larger stadiums. Italy has quite significant capacity stadiums, but at the same time isn't able to draw capacities at these stadiums every day. You don't need to go through all these individual statistics with respect to the English league, but if you look at the average size of new and proposed stadia and look at the case studies we've looked at in terms of averages, the overall average stadium size from all the data that we've been able to gather is around about 42,000, which is around the sort of capacities that Hong Kong Stadium has currently been able to attract. One thing that has also increased, I alluded to earlier, is that from stadia and stadia events, in properly managed facilities, revenues have increased, not just from sports facilities, but from a whole range of facilities and events that have been held in the stadia, plus also from things like merchandising, naming rights, and so on. I'll have to come back to that in one of the case studies in a minute. Let's just look at a few case studies. This is a fascinating stadium that's just been completed. This is going to be possibly the kickoff venue for the World Cup. It's got a capacity of 66,000. The skin of the stadium actually responds to the colours of the teams that are going to be playing there. It's a remarkable stadium built by the same people who have designed the Bird's Nest in Beijing. So they are well-known stadium designers. Now, one thing I want to bring up at the Emirates Stadium, this is Arsenal Football Club's new stadium, which will be it's probably constructed by the end of 2006. The interesting thing about this stadium was that, first of all, the club made a decision that it had to stay in the urban area. Secondly, there was a recognised opportunity to use the construction of the stadium for an urban renewal project. And what has happened here is that the old ground will eventually be converted into residential units for all classes of income, as indeed at the new stadium there will also be residential units attached to it. In fact, the 2,500 units attached to the new stadium have already sold out. The stadium's not built. Okay. Now, another point I make here, and I'll come back to this, is that it's only in... my battery's running out. Somebody... The planning department haven't paid their electricity bill. Right. Assuming we get the power back on. Yeah. Right. Hopefully we keep the power. Bad socket. Right. Okay. So just get back to this. This an urban renewal project. It's really very interesting indeed. And this is not the only one I'm going to show you. Fascinating stadium designed, as I say, for around 60,000 persons. Now, one major thing with this stadium is that Emirates have the naming rights to it. They've paid $100 million. For those naming rights over a period of 3 years. That's a lot of money. Another aspect I want to draw out is looking at various stadia. Many people see them as iconic elements disassociated with their environs. This needn't necessarily be the case. There's a whole new generation of stadia that are being developed. like the one here at Safeco Fields, recently constructed, but completely designed to fit in and integrate with its environs. And you can see really in the top left-hand corner there that the facade is showing a totally integrated feature that integrates well with the brownstone buildings around it. It also incorporates a series of commercial facilities, conference facilities and so on, as well as, of course, having the baseball stadium in itself. This is a stadium that's recently been completed in Leicester in the UK. Again, this is an urban renewal project. The site was badly decayed, and the new stadium brought with it regeneration in the area. The stadium has associated with it a whole series of conference facilities, as well as a hotel. There's a Holiday Inn hotel associated with it. The stadium is managed to be utilized every day, not just for football matches. People go there to get married. Not just the big Korean marriage, but you know, it's people go there to get married within the stadium. And there's a lot of other events that are actually held within the stadium. The management of this has been very, very innovative. And one interesting point is that whilst it currently has a capacity of 32,000, that there is design capacity for it to go up to about 40,000. Now, looking at the Millennium Stadium, which is the first large capacity stadium with a closable roof. This was to be the home of Welsh rugby, and there's several things I want to bring out about it. First of all, you've got the closable roof. Secondly, it's got a removable pitch. It's a palletized grass system. Thirdly, it's beside water. It's an urban stadium located beside water. And if we can just go to the next slide, you can see clearly where it's located, right beside the central business district within a focal point. And residential development is immediately abutting it. Now, we have this paranoia here in Hong Kong about residential development being an anathema to a stadium location. Of course, our current stadium doesn't work because we have environmental regulations that say it can't work. Doesn't seem to be the problem in Wales. No, that's not true. They don't close the roof. Saitama Stadium in Japan is perhaps one of the most flexible stadium in the world. And so it should be. It costs $19,000 a seat, whereas the average stadia these days are costing around $5,000 to $7,000 a seat. It has the flexibility to reduce from over 30,000 seating down to 5,000 seating. It is. It also has a closable roof, and the pitch can come out, and they can either use an artificial mode or a turf mode. It's hosted a whole range of events. If you look at the bottom right-hand picture on your screen, you can see a person located there, and that just gives you an idea of the scale of the moving walls that are associated with the stadium. Perhaps one of the most flexible stadia in Australia is the Telstra Dome. As you know, Aussie rules football is very, very important, much more important than soccer in Australia. And this stadium is designed to be flexible to, first of all, be accommodating to Aussie rules football, which is played in an oval shape pitch, and then also to go to either a rugby or a soccer mode. It does this by having a whole series of retractable seating, which can move in or move out according to what event is actually being held. Moreover, it has a retractable roof, which in inclement weather can be closed. Again, note that this is located at a waterfront location in an area that's rapidly becoming a prime area of Melbourne. And it also, you can see in the background there, high-rise development overlooking the stadium, very close proximity to it. Again, not a problem in Australia, but a problem in Hong Kong. Coming back to the mention of Singapore, we have researched what is going on in Singapore some time ago. In fact, I did some work for Singapore a few years ago on the concept of a sports city. They are intending to entirely redevelop the Klang Stadium, which is quite an aged stadium built in the 70s. Again, it's on a waterfront location. The new stadium will have around about 55,000 seats, which is clearly adventurous for a city-state the size of Singapore. But what the theme is and what the idea is in Singapore is to have a total sports environment. They intend to bring in all types of sports events to this area. They already have a multi-purpose event space there. So also want to bring in all the other organizations that are interested in sports to this one location, and then to attract international events to Singapore. It's very adventurous. They've put out the expression of interest. They're going to build it, and the formal contracts are likely to be issued within the next year, and construction will commence thereafter. Just want to look at another example of perhaps where you can see urban regeneration and then adaptability of stadia. Obviously, London was successful in getting the Olympic Games, which we all know. The Olympic Games are going to be the Olympic Village is going to be constructed within the Lee Valley in London. Now, this is a very degraded area. If any of you have been to Stratford in London, it is very degraded. It has a lot of ethnic minorities, poorer people that live in London. The whole idea behind this is to create a whole series of synergies that will help to regenerate the area and to bring employment to the people of the area. It's anticipated that this initiative will create around 12,000 jobs. It's already been proven in the case of the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff that 8,000 provable jobs have been created as a result of developing the stadium in the location that it has been built. The interesting thing about the stadium that's proposed in the case of the UK is that whilst it's going to be a large 80,000 seat stadium, this is going to be reduced quite significantly to a 25,000 seat stadium at the end of the day, because there is a recognition that there's just too many stadiums in London and they couldn't compete with them. But what there is need for in London is an athletics venue, and that's what will happen. The whole thing will be reduced to cope with athletics in the future. I won't go through this in detail, but you can perhaps have a look at certain items. These are the whole range of case studies we've done, and we have looked at, obviously, world trends as well. This gives you some key data on the various costs related to stadia. As I said before, the average cost is coming about around about $6,000 to $7,000 a seat, although there are more expensive varieties, like, for example, the Saitama Stadium, which is a huge investment for which they hope to get returns through the flexibility of the stadium. So, looking at the case study overview, there's a whole range of stadia sizes, ranging from 32,000 to 80,000, at, as I say, a cost around $7,000 a seat. 70% of the stadia we studied have been associated with some kind of urban renewal. And moreover, of the new stadia that have been constructed, the majority are in urban areas. A lot of them have a lot of other facilities associated with them, like conference facilities, commercial facilities, hotel facilities, that help to commercialize and help to ensure that the stadium can work on a viable basis and be attractive for people to come to. Just to go on to urban stadia, I just want to reinforce the point that a lot of the stadia that we've studied are actually in very urban locations. There's a few additional ones here than the ones you've just seen. But look at that. Appreciate that stadia can be located in urban locations and work very well. Now, it was mentioned in the introduction by Lolly that there are, in fact, a whole series of regional venues emerging. We've been working in the Gulf over the last few years from early involvement in the early part of this decade and to a present series of commissions that we have. Clearly, the Gulf has vast commercial resources available to it. It has a lot of money available to it. And what areas like Dubai have been doing is buying in international sports. There's no doubt about it. Qatar has done the same, but has not gone the step as far as Dubai has done. Dubai has gone to the extent of actually managing to secure circuit sports, like, for example, the recent ATP tournament that was actually held there. So it's got itself on the map, and it's actually attracting people to come to look at these various sports that it's managed to attract. It's also thought that Dubai is likely to make the bid for the 2016 Olympics. So it's setting itself up. It's now investing in a significant amount of sports infrastructure to keep itself ahead in terms of sports infrastructure provision. Sporting Singapore, well, it's allocated a huge amount of money, as you can see, towards this. And as I've mentioned before, it is supposed to be an entirely sports-driven city. situated adjacent to the Singapore River in a very, very prominent location. Again, Kallang, for those who know it, is quite run down in many respects, and it's hoped that the Kallang Stadium Initiative and the Sports City will help to promote regeneration within the area. Getting back to our own stadium, the amount of hiring out for the Hong Kong Stadium by World Trends is not that bad. It's 34 days, and that compares with world figures. But what that hides is the fact that over 50% of the events that are held in the Hong Kong Stadium are actually concessionary events, for which either nominal or no fees are actually accruable. So we're dependent mainly on the large football matches that we've had recently and the rugby sevens to generate revenue. And on paper, the Hong Kong Stadium does actually record a paper profit. Okay. Now, looking at the stadium capacity, I've mentioned this before in terms of how big it should be. We've accumulated data from all around the world of all planned stadia, and you can see clearly on this bar chart what the principal stadia size is and by what category. Clearly, there's a widespread of stadia being constructed, with one over 100,000 capacity being constructed in Turkey. But that's actually for motor racing, as associated with the F1 that's currently being held there. Coming back to the averages that I mentioned earlier, the overall average from what we've been able to see is around 42,000. And as I said before, this ties in very nicely with the sort of capacities that Hong Kong is able to attract in terms of its premier sports events. What we don't have, perhaps, is the capacity to attract more events at the moment because we don't have the flexibility within the current stadium. Now, the concept at the present time that we're examining is to have not just a stadium, but also to have a series of indoor facilities and other facilities attached to the stadium. This will include a warm-up track with track and field facilities and a soccer pitch within it. It will also include indoor arenas, and will also include perhaps a swimming pool. But I must say that we're actually looking at these things right now, so these are very tentative issues at the present time. There's a whole series of indoor arenas being constructed in the area. This is a very large one in Singapore, which will form part of the new Kallang complex. It has a very large capacity, around 12,000. I don't think we could sustain that within Hong Kong, as well as other venues that we already have. But perhaps a smaller scale, flexible venue would be good to have. They're very dramatically designed venues elsewhere in the world. Again, the Munich venue has a capacity of in excess of 12,000 and could host a lot of ancillary sporting events that could complement those held within the stadium, whilst also attracting the general public. And they can actually come and utilize the stadium when it's not being used for other events. This is perhaps one of the most successful indoor stadiums, perhaps not the most beautiful, but again, it's located by a river. And it was opened in 1991 and has been totally full ever since. It has huge revenues. It's used for multiple purposes, exhibitions, sports events, and so on, and has actually been used for filming various sports challenges. The Vodafone Arena in Melbourne is perhaps one of the most flexible indoor arenas, with a capacity to be an outdoor arena if necessary. It has a retractable open roof which can be opened in 10 minutes. The Millennium Stadium roof can be opened within 20 minutes. Just to give you some idea of what it looks like, it has the flexibility to be a velodrome, as well as it can be adjusted to various multi-modes, like, for example, tennis, basketball, and so on. It's an amazingly successful venue with just over 10,000 seat capacity. And that gives you the different capacities in the various modes that it can tolerate at various times. And there's the multimodal situations that you can have with the stadium and the different seating distributions that you can have. So if we're going to have an indoor arena, it would have to be sufficiently flexible to host a large range of events. This will help to enhance its viability and the popularity of its use. Now, inevitably, we have had to look at perhaps a range of situations and locations where the stadium could be located. In the previous study, the 2001 study, we did actually look at a whole range of possible venue locations. A lot of these have now been superseded by events, and we've now examined four principal sites that the stadium could be located upon.
Well, one location is possibly within North Lantau, where it was proposed to have a whole series of entertainment venues and a theme park ancillary to that of Disney. The only problem with that, perhaps, is the R word. You have a reclamation associated with this proposal, and of course there may be a lobby against that, so that's something one would have to bear in mind. But I think also one has to consider, in looking at stadium locations, is Hong Kong's people's perception of distance. People are very intolerant of travelling large distances for just an event that may last 2 or 3 hours. They would much prefer to have it on its doorstep. And that's perhaps the reason why many stadia these days have been located in urban areas, located to mass transit transportation systems. We've also had a look at West Kowloon Reclamation, where the cultural district is. That has a whole series of constraints associated with it. If you look at the stadium in the top left of the picture, and then look at the various pieces of infrastructure that will be coming through this area, it's very, very constrained in terms of getting a stadia onto this site. This isn't all the infrastructure, there's a lot of cooling mains and other facilities attached to it. And of course it has an immediate interface with Union Square and possible development that may be associated with the Kowloon Southern Link, or in fact the CDA site that is located west of the proposed Kowloon Southern Link station. So theoretically a possible location, but constrained heavily by infrastructure and the configuration of sites that would be available to it. We had a look at possibly Tsuen Kwan O. Again, this is a long way out for a lot of people, but it is well connected to public transport. It has an adequate size, but would it be entirely suitable for a stadium? It would occupy a waterfront site in common with many international stadia, but it's nevertheless probably a little bit distant for most people. The one that we keep coming back to is Southeast Kowloon. It has a series of constraints attached to it. Very much like West Kowloon, there are things associated with it. We've got the airport tunnel. That has to be avoided. There's a Sha Tin Central Link depot. And then we have the Sha Tin Central Link railway line in itself. There are obviously a number of existing public housing sites that have been constructed on Kai Tak. And the planning for Kai Tak, as you've just been discussing, has been evolving. Now, hopefully, the stadium can be built or planned in such a way that anything around it is complementary and ancillary to the stadium, and we don't get any issues like we have right now with the current Hong Kong stadium. I'll just give you a very quick summary. What must happen with any stadium is that it has to perform well. It has to be flexible for a whole range of uses, and as such, they should be flexible. It should have removable and relocatable pitches that can leave a hard surface like at the Millennium Stadium, you can host concerts there. The recent Band Aid concert was held at the Millennium Stadium. They can be used, as I've said, as promoters of urban renewal, and that's proven. There's international case studies that show that without doubt. And moreover, on top of that, as the Millennium Stadium shows, they can generate employment. The design must remain flexible. The current Hong Kong Stadium design is not flexible. It's inflexible. It can't accommodate modern requirements of stadia. It's soon going to rapidly not become the most popular venue in Southeast Asia. So it must have a flexible design that can adjust to changing circumstances. As I've just said, the location must be good. Adjacent to public transport is a must. The size, we're looking at anything between 45,000 plus for the stadium, but I wouldn't recommend, certainly from our tentative early investigations, that we went anything above 50,000 seats for our new Hong Kong stadium. We simply couldn't fill that kind of stadium, and a half full 50,000 seat stadium is not a good place to go. In terms of need, I think we can say that we can meet a lot of new public requirements for sports, that's community sports, as well as those of the elite, as well as holding large-scale sports events, amplifying, very much like Singapore is trying to do, and Dubai, a participation in sports and an involvement in sports that currently isn't there. I would mention that during the course of the 2001 study, we did go out to the public and solicit views, and there has been views expressed in the case of the Southeast Kowloon study. And generally, we've found that a lot of the views are quite positive towards a stadium and a stadium located in Kai Tak. the NSAs that we consulted during the course of the 2001 study were generally in favour of a new stadium because they saw the deficits in the current stadium. So you've got the sports community in general supporting the need for a new stadium. Finally, recommendations. Well, we're still looking into this, but I think we would have a site area of no greater than 24 hectares. We haven't got to the detail of planning the site and all the facilities associated with it, and indeed confirming all the facilities that are associated with it. But we do see the need for certainly a removable pitch, as I've mentioned, and a retractable roof that would allow all-weather attendance at the stadium. We do anticipate that the stadium is not going to be entirely public funded. We see it as a PPP relationship with high degree of commercialization associated with it. As such, it has to have things that will commercialize the stadium, like, for example, hotel development. If you include these sort of facilities, and say even small conference facilities, you will also make the stadium a living and breathing place, which is what modern stadia are doing, and it becomes part of the urban environment. So you can not only design it as part of the urban environment, but you can include facilities within it that will attract people to it, and it actually functions as a living, breathing space within the urban environment. Finally, the inclusion of complementary sports venues with the stadium will also help to create a major sports hub within Hong Kong, and hopefully we'll be able to attract larger and newer games to Hong Kong and, at the same time, enhance sports and sports development within Hong Kong. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. 請問趙遠珠副秘書長和冼柏榮先生有沒有補充？
唯一我強調一點咧，就頭先顧問嗰度都提到啦。咁其實我哋呢一個設施咧係多用途嘅，就除咗體育、社區同商業嘅唔同嘅用途咁樣啦。我哋希望製造一個環境咧，就可以 enhance 個 waterfront 咧，就可以 rejuvenate 嗰個社區咧，同埋咧就希望做到一個即係 stadium in a park 呢一個概念咁樣嘅。
好。
我都補充兩句啦，即係我哋嘅構思咧，係起一個國際級嘅國際水平嘅場館。咁呢個場館咧，係同而家喺大球場嗰種運作係唔一樣嘅。呢、這個場館咧係目的咧，就係要日日都有人用嘅，唔係好似而家淨係有球賽先有人去嘅。咁我哋係呢個場館係多元化嘅。即係除咗係體育活動之外咧，我哋想佢嘅營運咧似會展咁樣多過係一個而家大球場咁樣。意思咧就係話係有商業化嘅活動，又好似酒店啊、餐廳啊、購物咁，咁令到咧呢、這個場館咧係市民生活嘅一部分，而唔係咧只係想體育去睇體育活動先至去。咁樣有咁樣嘅一年有都不停有活動嘅話咧，這個場館咧佢先有生命氣息，先會有即係可以令到佢個經濟係 sustainable， 即係可以個運作咧係營運可以做到個自負盈虧。咁即係呢、這個就係現時一般嘅國際級現代化嘅球場咧，大球場咧嗰種嘅做法係同我哋以往嗰種做法唔一樣。多謝主席。
好，咁多謝民政事務局好詳盡嘅介紹啊。個體育館咧就對於啟德嘅規劃係有好大嘅影響嘅。因為佢嘅而家建議佔地嘅面積係好大，而且咧就唔可以將佢分開幾橛咁樣嚟擺噶嘛。咁所以有一個多用途嘅綜合體育館，或者冇咁嘅體育館咧，對成個啟德嘅規劃咧，最終嗰個結果咧係有好大影響。咁但我想提醒大家，今日我哋會議嘅目的就唔係去向呢個綜合體育館喺唔喺啟德呢度咧去表態支持或者係反對。而係咧就由於佢對於啟德規劃係有咁重要咧，所以首先作為共建維港委員會，我哋希望去更加多了解啦。咁所以我想鼓勵委員會咧，就首先我哋若果有問題想更加了解嘅，大家可以藉住呢個機會去民政事務局去了解多啲啦。咁第二方面嘅討論咧就係我哋點樣可以幫助公眾去了解啊？因為咧就喺成個啟德規劃裏面，我哋就唔可以避開咗呢個問題。喺第一階段裏面曾經提過出嚟，而家政府亦都提倡咗出嚟啊。咁所以喺第二階段咧，就我相信個多用途綜合體育館一定會係某種程度咧係俾公眾去討論嘅。咁我哋可以作為委員會，作為個規劃嘅委員會咧，點樣協助公眾去理解同埋去討論，以至最後咧能夠作出一個即係公眾大家希望 可以認可的決定，這個就是我們的任務。所以我想大家的討論集中這兩方面，我們自己的理解和怎樣幫助公眾的參與。但我想先或者問一問民政事務局，就首先共建維港委員會的會議是所有會議都是向外公開的，所以今次你們所說的東西就我們如果錄咗音嗰啲咧，就即係會擺埋喺個網頁嗰度啊。咁呢個PowerPoint 咧，就即係我哋都會將佢擺埋喺個網頁嗰度。咁請問阿趙遠珠即係副秘書長有冇反對啊？即係如果冇反對，我哋就會將佢擺喺個即係委員會嘅網頁，咁俾公眾都有機會去睇到。好啦，咁另外就喺委員問問題之前，有幾啲咁嘅資料，我想或者即係可唔可以再澄清一下咧？剛才一開始嘅時候。簡介香港體育的發展的時候，講到2009年的東亞的運動會，這個2009年的運動會和現在講緊這個場館的關係其實沒有什麼關係的，是不是？你不是想著2009年之前去起好給他的嘛，是不是？好，那我們首先就澄清了這點先。另外就也不可以跟我們講講現在有沒有個概念呢，是這個場館假如它是規劃了和去建設了之後，它相比起現在政府大球場和紅磡體育館，它是一個就是 additional 因為是 replacement 的，即是現在已經有概念未的，因為是這樣還一樣，那個呢就繼續維持它在這裡。
主席，就這個呢，我們要遲些要作一個整體 的考慮這樣的，其實就很多不同的options 都是有可能，不過我們要從整體的規劃那裡再考慮，
即是未答得到住，好吧。大家委員會有沒有問題或者是意見？我想是 Andy 先啊。
主席，即我希望那個討論咧，就維持翻一個規劃嘅層面上啦。因為即係我作為建築師咧，見到呢啲咁嘅 grand plan 咧，就即係都相當 excited 嘅。咁但係咧，就即係睇翻咁喺個規劃嗰個層面嚟講咧，其實睇翻就話，正如先主席問嗰樣嘢啦，就話我哋見到一個咁宏偉嘅一個 plan 咧 ，for 一個 multi-purpose stadium 國際級嘅 stadium。呢個 stadium 到時同而家現有香港其他嘅體育嘅設施咧。即係喺規劃上嚟講係點處理呢？係咪一個而家係覺得我哋而家現有嘅體育設施唔足夠，而要加多一個咁嘅國際級咁嘅咁嘅規模嘅體育中心啊？抑或係我哋可以考慮就話，因為有咗將來呢個更加完善規劃設計嘅體育中心，就已經可以將現時有啲不太理想，無論喺 location 或者係無論設計上不太理想嘅，已經可以將佢吸收嚟做第二啲規，即係一啲。當區的一啲其他嘅規劃嘅考慮咧，咁呢個完全唔同睇法啦。呢、這個咁第二樣嘢就話，其實睇翻就話，我諗頭先講即係國際級啦，即係其實大家有冇諗過啊？呢個咁嘅規模嘅體育館咧，係話我哋有幾多層面係用嚟做本土即係 local 嘅用途，即係大家即係會好肯定聽咧，就話盡量係利用多元化。利用好多係唔止體育嘅用途，但係就話以咁大規模嘅體育中心，而又都咁專業嘅體育中心咧，好簡單，啲草地係咪立亂可以俾人踩咧？即係其實咧，我諗就話，如果你話要一個國際水準嘅話咧，隨時根本咧，喺一年裏面有幾多日係有一啲國際賽事，而令到我哋可以維持呢一個4万至6万人嘅即係場館咧？其實我諗要即係我哋問咗我哋自己先啦。多謝
先，多謝梁建文先生。今次似乎Andy 都係表達個意見啊，即係個問題都係問咗我哋自己先啊，即係香港人要問自己先嘅。咁不如我哋聽多一兩個意見或者問題先，跟住係Paul。
Chairman, if I make a few comments, I don't have a few questions.
Yes.
My first comment is related to my kids and the availability and access to sport facilities in Hong Kong and sports development. The current sport facilities are owned by either controlled by LCSD, which is under your command, or by the schools. And we have great problems in getting access to those facilities at flexible times to train kids. Get the kids anywhere on rollerblades and play rollerblade hockey, whatever, is basically nearly impossible, whereas we have loads of facilities in Hong Kong. So in terms of sports development,I have a problem in seeing building the number one world-class stadium in Kai Tak is going to help my kids to get better access to sports facilities. And on the second one is you mentioned the events, sports. All the examples which Alan has showed us are stadiums which are a replacement of an existing stadium which is overused. We don't have an overused situation here. We don't have Arsenal in Hong Kong. And the reason for that is basically because we're not participating in a national league. There is no national football league. Unless Hong Kong team plays against Shenhua on Sunday in this stadium is not going to be used. We're going to have a full stadium if Hong Kong is going to be playing. So we have a sports policy issue regulating this planning that you relate to here, Andy. But and those are some of the comments that I just wanted to put into place. On the elite side, the current developments related to the Sports Institute is shut in, put the commentary from the Home Affairs in a slightly different light in terms of provision and taking care of our elite sportist. But let me ask, basically, if I understand as well, the proposal is that we build a brand new stadium, whereas we have a current stadium which is underused. It's very hard to get access to the stadium in Tsukhung Po in terms of using it for a sports evening or training ground. It's you can't afford it. And there is basically no access that I can get for my sports club to get access to that stadium at a reasonable price at a reasonable time. So I don't see the demand side for the new stadium. I could see that Hong Kong can use a multidisciplinary entertainment venue, which we are currently planning for West Kowloon. So I'm glad that Alan agrees with me that West Kowloon remains a great opportunity for the stadium, especially given the fact that it has all the transport infrastructure in place and all the auxiliary facilities, hotels, retail, are already right there. We don't have to create new ones in Kai Tak, they're already existing. The questions are then, why is this difference between the Bureau and Alan today, where Alan suggests a stadium in the city and the Bureau asks for 24 hectares of parkland with three facilities inside, which is a quite different proposal. The Bureaus are suggesting that we need a park with facilities inside, and Alan has shown us great examples of urban renewal and how a facility could work inside a city. So I don't understand that difference. And of this 24 hectares, how much is each individual component that is being proposed there? Later on, to our planning team, is a question which we have raised earlier, is the fact that we have a park with stadiums and the transport facilities are outside the park, and outside that there are more parks, giving this enormous park area. So we have this lack of integration. How can we take all these sports components apart and use them, put them in different places? The agglomeration concept of putting them in one sports city is, in my view, unproven. We have the Hong Kong Harbour district around the harbour, which is very easy to travel around, and we could have the sports facilities anywhere. We don't need to put them into a big park which is otherwise created from new. Is that the case, and what is the arguments for and against it? Those are my questions.
Okay. Thank you. 或者有没有一些跟刚才两位 Andy 和 Paul 类似的一些 意见或者问题可以一起提出啦。 Nick? Related
Chairman,
questions, right?
Comments? Chairman, I don't think anyone would dispute the benefits of such a facility to Hong Kong and the community, and I think you're right, yes, we have to try and help the public understand why such a facility, A, is needed, and B, why it should be put in Southeast Kowloon. My struggle has always been one of sustainable development, and the third leg of the stool, which is the economic leg. I mean, if you just look at the value of 24 hectares on the Southeast Kowloon Peninsula, you're looking at $40 billion of land value, just land value alone. Now, I think when the community are asked to make difficult choices in the future, I mean, these are the sort of things that have got to be brought home to them, that this is coming at a huge cost. In terms of loss of revenue, in terms of land sales, the stadium itself is going to cost a huge amount of money. I think one of the challenges the consultant faces and we will face if we're going to be asked to try and convince the public that this should be put on the South East Kowloon is one of economic viability. I think we're going to find it very difficult to make it fly, and I think the consultants can find it very difficult to make it fly. And this is my concern, that we need to keep our feet on the ground. And I said this at various sessions previously. It's very easy to get emotional and look at these things very subjectively, but at the end of the day, these things come at a huge cost, and we must make the community understand that if they choose to do this, then there is a very large cost involved.
Maybe they can sell Happy Valley and Hong Kong.
Can I give a few answers? First to Nick's. Well, actually, he was one of the consultants in the 2001 study, so which suggested that, in fact, a stadium in South East Kowloon could actually work on a reasonable basis. But more important than that is that the examples I showed was that in many cases throughout the world, prime sites have been given over to stadia development, and that's in recognition, not necessarily because of the direct economic impacts and benefits that it creates, but because of the indirect impacts that it creates and job creation and so on. I would say that we have had a look at the various sizes of stadia throughout the world and what particular sizes they are in various locations. And I'm talking specifically here about the size of a stadium itself. But number one is that the stadium generally in urban locations are anything between 15 to 19 hectares in area. Now, that's in an urban location. We are looking at putting additional facilities in association with that stadium. So that would account, obviously, for greater areas of land. You'd be looking for 3 or 4 hectares for a indoor facility. A swimming facility would take possibly up to 1.5 hectares, and so on. Then, of course, we've got the very important issue of the means of evacuation. The Hong Kong Stadium is not a conventional stadium in the sense that most stadia are designed with evacuation in all sides. We would have to design a new stadium with evacuation in all sides, and that would certainly account for 4 hectares of the 19 or 18 hectares that I just mentioned. But I would stress that we are at an early stage in this study, and we are looking at these issues. I don't think I did say, Paul, that West Kowloon was an ideal site for the stadium. There's a degree of interpolation there, I think. In terms of accessibility, I think we would want to have a very accessible stadium, and I don't see anything wrong with having a critical mass of sports facilities. It is done in many venues throughout the world. Certainly the legacy venues from various sports events, that has created a whole cluster of event spaces that have been generally very successful. And very often local authorities and governments have built event spaces within one location, and they have operated quite successfully. There obviously are examples of those that haven't, but they tend to be in the minority. In terms of the types of facilities that we would have in the stadium, certainly what we're looking at this early stage is giving accessibility to as many people as possible, including Paul's children, to various venues within the complex, which would be highly integrated to the waterfront, very much like the slides I showed you of Melbourne, which is right at the waterfront park along the riverside. So the idea is that it's a stadium for the people with facilities around it. They're also accessible to the people. I would like to draw attention, come back to what Andy was saying, for local purposes, yes, of course, local people have to get access to the stadium. One problem with the stadium we have currently is that we have a very fragile turf. But having a stadium with a removable turf would resolve a lot of problems with the stadium and would enable more community use of the facilities. Take the Millennium Stadium in Wales, for example. This is an iconic stadium that is used by a lot of people, including local community groups, so it has multiple uses. And in fact, what the Millennium Stadium is doing at the moment is having a look at a curtaining system where it can actually close off smaller areas of the stadium, so it is not such a large venue, and this will be suspended from the structure of the roof. So there is a lot of flexible arrangements that you can actually make. In terms of the phasing out of other sports venues, I don't think we haven't got to the stage of actually looking at that, but it is an issue. What impact would a new stadium plus ancillary facilities have on other event spaces? Now, I don't think we'd be looking necessarily to get rid of the Colosseum, but we wouldn't want to compete with the Colosseum at the same time. So certainly for indoor arenas, we wouldn't want to have seating capacities of the size of the Colosseum. Nor for that matter Asia World Expo, which has a capacity of approximately 10,000. I hope I've managed to answer most of the questions, but in general terms, what we're looking at is a multiple facility that has a whole host of sports facilities located in and around it, as well as a lot of support facilities that will make it a vibrant location and a location that people will get to and want to go to. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Alan McDonald. Daniel，
就或者我都想補充少少咧，就係、是、其實我哋個建議嗰度咧，除咗主場館，亦都有一個副場館同埋一個嘅sports arena 咁樣嘅。咁嗰度咧，副場館當然就可以即係、就是、開放俾公眾，即係舉辦其他嘅活動啊，譬如甚至係學校可以搞啲校運會啊嗰啲咁樣。同埋個 indoor sports arena 咧，都可以有唔同種類嘅體育活動，咁啊 ，Mrs. Zimmerman 嘅子女當然可以參與其中啦，嚇、啊，咁就同埋呢一個場館咧，都係配合香港嘅長遠嘅發展。咁譬如話，就算今年未必有一個好多嘅大型活動，但係即係會俾香港會有一個potential 可以舉辦更加多嘅國際性嘅活動咁樣嘅。咁就頭先講到話，即、就、係、是、個 stadium in a park 嗰個概念，就唔係話我哋即係要整一個好大型嘅公園咁樣，而係即係呢一個建築嘅概念咧，就好似即係市民咧可以嚟呢一個設施嗰度享用，係一個公眾嘅設施咁樣。
或者冼先生咧，就我哋講咗咁耐，聽到咁多資料咧，就有一點我都想民政事務局可以再澄清多少少啊，就係、是、現在即係雅邦顧問公司做呢個研究咧，嗰、那個性質係點樣？因為我哋剛才聽咧，同埋從我文件裏面睇到咧，就係、是、你哋其實請咗佢哋係做而家呢個研究冇幾耐嘅啫，但我哋都同樣聽到咧，就民政事務局係已經有一個建議一個方案啊，即係一個24公頃嘅多用途綜合體育館，包括有三部分嘅嚇。咁現在即係我哋頭先聽咧，就係而家呢個 study 係一個some kind of review 即係一個檢討咁現在其實呢個研究係去純粹係所謂 updating 啊 ，update 你哋已經有嘅一個定咗嘅政策方案。一話咧係由頭再睇過，即係有可能咧係有另外嘅方案嘅，因為剛才我哋睇嘅presentation 都見到咧，就有幾個地方咧即係又話西九龍，又話大嶼山咁即係佢哋其實係咪喺呢個檢討裏面咧，除咗 updating 一啲資料，亦都會睇下有冇其他嘅方案嘅，一話只係咧想加強翻你哋已經現有嘅一個即係確立咗嘅方案嘅。
主席，就其實喺個文件嗰度咧，都有大致上咧就交代過啦。咁其實係2001年咧，我哋做一個嘅研究咧，就係睇香港嗰個體育場館嘅需要咁樣。咁就即係裏邊亦都已經係講咗話，即係香港係長遠嚟講需要一個多用途嘅大型體育館啦。咁喺呢個2002，我哋做咗一個嘅體育政策檢討咧，裏邊亦都即係提過，即係政府咧就需要去睇下一個做一個可行性嘅研究咁樣，咁所以其實喺2003年咧，就建築署內部咧，亦都即係做過一個嘅初步嘅可行性研究。咁喺呢個可行性研究裏邊咧，就提過話需要一個嘅主場館啦，一個嘅副場館同埋一個嘅即係水上活動中心咁樣。咁我哋其實就咁多年嚟咧，都有一啲嘅即係體育即係體育方面嘅發展咧，有啲嘅改變啦，就香港整體嘅發展都有啲改變。咁所以我哋喺今年咧就請顧問公司咧就用翻2001年，即係 based on 2001年嗰個研究咧，就去睇翻即係嗰陣時嘅，譬如話諗過嘅嘅一啲嘅課題啊咁樣，咁就即係 update 之餘咧，就當然就要睇睇裏邊嘅 planning parameters 啦，譬如係咪真係喺啟德呢個地方咧咁樣，咁就同埋就係咪要24公頃咧？咁裏邊即係其他嘅體育設施係點樣咧？即係譬如係咪要一個水上活動中心啊咁樣？咁其實喺呢一個過程裏邊咧，我哋都覺得即係係咪個水上活動中心嗰樣嘢咧，其實都可以考慮，譬如話唔喺水上活動中心嘅時候，喺其他嘅多用途嘅 indoor sports arena 係咪一個即係更加可行嘅一個措施咧咁樣？咁至於係咪一個即係已經一個具體嘅方案咧？咁當然而家係即係顧問嗰度仲係做緊嘅。咁佢我哋而家仲預計咧，就今個月底至到即係九月初咧，就會有一個嘅報告咁樣。咁我哋就到時就基於顧問嘅報告咧，就喺政府內部當然就要即係經過多重嘅諮詢，咁先有一個具體嘅方案咁樣。咁但係即係而家呢個過程咧，都好歡迎各位委員咧，就呢一個嘅。課題咧就提供意見，咁我哋可以多啲嘅參考。咁我亦都喺你哋嚟緊嘅諮詢嘅過程咧，我哋都盡量會參與，希望即係多啲公眾嘅討論，同埋即係大家多啲嘅交流咁樣。
冼先生，或者我即係另一個方法再解釋一下個問題啦。咁由於我哋共建維港委員會咧，就唔係一個體育政策嘅諮詢委員會啊。咁所以喺個體育發展。個政策方面咧，就我哋會好有興趣理解啊。咁但係我哋就即係唔係打算透過委員會去辯論啊，去個體育政策個發展方向應該點樣樣。咁但係即係由於啟德嘅規劃裏邊呢個多綜合體育館咧係好重要。咁因此咧，即係我哋從個土地規劃嘅角度咧，我哋係會需要處理，尤其是從一個即係綜合海港嘅規劃嘅角度咧，我哋需要去更加理解，如果有需要一個咁嘅場館嘅話咧，點解喺啟德，或者點解唔喺啟德？咁因此剛才即係喺介紹裏面你都講咗啦，政府其實已經有個研究就講咗，即係政府係有個 wish list 嘅，希望喺啟德做呢個綜合嘅場館。咁但係現在咧就剛剛委任咗呢個雅邦嘅顧問公司啦。咁我了解即係 Urbis 係一個即係 urban planning consultancy 啊。就係都係土地規劃嘅，咁所以我想了解咧，就係呢間公司佢哋幫你做咧，係純粹去加強你哋已經定咗嘅一個，即係喺啟德要有一個大場館呢個計劃咁去幫你鞏固呢個計劃，咁做嘅一個顧問，即係換句話講咧，佢哋唔準話俾你聽個場館唔喺啟德嘅因為咧係即係作為個作為一個即係土地利用規劃嘅顧問咧，佢哋嘅研究裏面可以包括埋處理點解喺啟德同埋點解唔喺啟德嗰個問題啊。
係主席，其實就Urbis 咧係都係有檢討過其他嘅地方，咁佢再睇過嘅時候都係建議翻喺啟德呢笪地方咁樣。咁亦都佢哋喺個顧問嗰個研究過程裏邊咧，都要即係substantiate 點解喺啟德呢笪地方咁樣。係
好，咁呢個唔係我哋今日要討論嘅內容啦。咁不過就喺當我哋去同公眾去帶出呢個議題去討論嘅時候咧，就即係我想希望民政事務局了解咧，就呢個問題係我哋會引導公眾去思考嘅，就係點解喺啟德，或者係點解唔喺啟德。咁剛才嘅PowerPoint 裏邊咧，就有大約點提到呢樣嘅，但係就即係大部分嘅內容都唔係針對呢個問題嘅，大部分內容都係話咧，因為世界各地都有好多大場館啦，咁即係從嗰方面嘅需要嗰度去出發，咁或者即係可以注意一下，就阿 Kim 係跟住阿吳美琴同埋係，
多謝主席。我想問一下局方咧，就喺你哋講係2001年開始咧，已經又有發現到又要有一個大型嘅場館需要啦。咁就我想睇下你政府方面咧，亦都有冇一個即係講咁多都係一個硬件嘅嘢。其實在軟件方面，你們有沒有全面性 的體育發展政策呢？咁現有的這個情況正如從西九的文化政策一樣的， 一個反即係淨係一個模式一樣嘅。咁如果你冇全面性嘅發展計策劃咧，或者係計劃咧，或者係一個政策咧，你觸礁嘅機會就會好大。咁呢樣嘢我亦都係希望你哋可以提供多啲資料，而且你喺過往咁多年嚟講，你哋對業界嘅例如好足球啊、籃球啊、壘球方面嘅大型嘅球類嘅發展咧，有冇投放咩資源或者支持或者推廣嘅工作？喺建造喺2001年之後咧，你建造咗幾多新嘅體育場地啊、設施啊，俾啲市民去推廣你哋認為係要推廣嘅嘢咧？喺市民對呢個體育嗰個熱衷程度係咪去到歐美國家咁有悠又咁悠久嘅足球或者係美式足球嘅歷史嘅背景，我哋係咪一定係可以完全套用咧？嚇、彩虹係好美麗嘅，但係你嘅彩虹唔等於我哋可以捉到彩虹，係咪？咁就基於係精英化個程度方面咧，我哋就希望知道你哋精英化嗰個定義係咪去到一個係全職化，一個係職業化嘅嘢。至於係國際水平嗰樣嘢咧，就以我正話理解你哋正話講嘅嘢咧，就係、是、你哋似乎係希望用營運即係、就是、商業模式去抵消嗰個收入支出嘅平衡 ，rather 定係培育即係呢個體育發展呢、這個同埋呢個係點樣係推廣呢個體育嚇？呢、這個我諗相信呢一個樣嘢咧，就係似一個商品化嘅建設，多於係呢個文呢、這個體育界嘅建設咯嚇。呢啲係我個人睇法。多謝
好多謝 Kim 嘅問題，聽到呢啲問題你就知道可以估到佢係玩體育嘅人嚟㗎。不如阿 MeCam 你係咪相關嘅問題啊？係唔同嘅 ，OK。咁或者 Raymond 咧，你係想補充嘅話係？
我唔係相關嘅問題，不過咧係補充頭先 Alan 咧就講喺西九龍嗰個 option 嘅問題，或者 Alan 可唔可以 turn to 嗰個 slide showing the West Kowloon option？ 因為咧就而家政府咧喺個區域快線度咧。正在喺西九龍咧，係諗緊咧，係做一個車站嘅。咁、那個塊地咧就頭先 Alan 收嗰塊地。咁、所以咧就呢、這個時候咧，西九龍喺嗰度起個體育場館咧，係未必能夠係有咁可行性。
係邊個位置你講？
其實我哋諗緊個車站咧，就喺WKCD 對出。那塊四角位那裡其中一個可能性就是這個位
置。 OK 好好好不如呢就或者HAB 同事或者顧問對Kim 陳先生規律師學會的陳建安先生提的問題有沒有回應先 Any comments 是有關軟件還有全面的體育設施對唔住，全面嘅體育政策啊！
多謝主席。其實即係喺體育嘅政策嗰方面咧，我哋喺2002年、2003年咧就已經做過一個檢討，亦都廣泛諮詢咁裏邊有好多嘅建議咧，有啲我哋已經開始做咗，或者已經完成咗。譬如好似體育個行政架構咧，我哋喺舊年咧已經係重新係即係做咗一個好大型嘅，叫做重組，係將呢個康體發展局咧係取消，咁就亦都將咧體院嗰個架構咧係重組，咁亦都係之後咧，我哋就喺舊年咧成立咗三個體育委員會，精英事務體育會啦，城市。即係大型嘅體育運動嘅委員會啦，同埋一個群眾體育嘅委員會，社區活動嘅群眾嘅體育嘅活動委員會。咁亦都喺今年1月1日咧，就 Sports Commission 即係體育委員會咧係成立。咁我哋即係喺除咗係呢啲咁嘅架構上嘅改動之後咧，其他嘅政策軟件咧，你講得好啱，即係我哋仲要係檢視嘅。咁所以我哋咧而家咧幾個委員會咧分別咧就進行呢個體育政策。這個制定，咁我哋已經係有一輪嘅討論，咁我哋而家咧就將會咧係做第二輪嘅討論，咁跟住咧我哋就希望咧明年年初咧 就是可以做到一套體育的政策的諮詢的文件呢，是廣泛諮詢體育界和各界的人士。其實呢、這個體育政策在我們在檢討2002-2003年的檢討已經是在各方面呢都已經是有諮詢過一次的了，也都收到好幾百份的意見書，我們會綜合他們的意見呢，歸納他們的意見和、得到即體育委員會的意見呢，我們會做一份、體育政策的、一個諮詢文件出來，再廣泛諮詢。我們希望呢明年呢是會做到這個體育政策出來，有這個軟件呢，有個方向性呢，才可以支持再向前呢做這個體育的、發展再邁進一步。至於、其他的問題，關於我們是如何去支持精英的體育、他們有沒有全職化，是有的。即係現時咧，體院有500多個運動員係受訓練咧，其中有一部分咧，照我記得都有100-200個咧係全職嘅，佢哋係有攞一啲叫做 scholarship， 即係係體育運動嘅支持嘅獎學金支持佢哋，亦都係得到係即係特別嘅體育嘅訓練。在沙田體院或者是在其他的場地訓練，或者是去海外訓練。現時是有這個全職化的，亦都有些運動員，譬如像趙永賢，他讀完大學 他決定是投入全職化做運動員，他現在是全職是 打壁球的、這個是其中一個例子。大家都熟悉的李麗珊，她是全職運動員來的。至於是我們如何去支持，即是啲譬如足球啊呢啲運動呢，足球是沒錯，在香港的發展不及得英國或者是有些地方的，但是我們其實就在政府呢是有資助各個體育活動的，在康文署呢，我們每年都有資助他們各個體育總會的體育的發展和舉辦運動。至於你剛才講的問題，話怎樣去再推動這些足球啊其他活動呢，我們要是再同即係在幾個委員會的指導之下呢，再同我們現時有70多個體育總會，有些很活躍，有些不是太活躍，但總共都有70多個。咁亦都有這個港澳暨奧委會，港協暨奧委會，就是這個 Federation 呢是統籌的。咁我們現在呢都是努力 在各方面呢是一起呢是去攜手呢是推動的。體育熱是怎樣呢？夠不夠來到去支持一個這麼大型的場館呢？那我們就是也都明白到呢，完全是靠體育活動是不能夠維持到一個這麼大型的場館，所以我們才好像整個世界大趨勢這樣，是將這個場館不是只是做體育運動，是我們是想多元化，是做多種的活動來到去支持這個體育的發展。商業化和培育發展呢，我們希望都可以拿到個，即是盡量拿到個平衡啦。現時呢，我們譬如體育館呢，全香港有80多個室內運動場，咁呢啲呢都係冚唪唥都係受政府資助，全部都係要資助嘅。咁即係長此落去呢，我們都擔心即係納稅人的負擔太重，咁所以呢我們都喺呢一個咁大型嘅體育設施籌劃的時候呢，我們都會想是否可以是雙贏呢，好像世界各地很多的場館都有這樣的構思和運作，譬如好像在英國倫敦，他 Chelsea 的 Football Club， 他是有酒店、有餐室、有 gym、 有其他的活動來到配合，令到那個場館可以營運得是自負盈虧，盡量是做到。咁我哋都好想係隨住呢個方向咧，係嘗試一下。咁我哋都會做一啲即係 feasibility study 啦，可行性研究啦，財務嗰方面嘅可行性研究，即係都唔敢冒然就咁樣就係起一個咁巨型嘅場館嘅。咁我哋希望喺商業嘅發展同埋體育嘅發展係取到個平衡，一方面可以推動到係 體育的發展，亦都咧係喺商業的運作的情況之下咧，令到佢可以自負盈虧，係唔需要納税人咧係太多嘅補貼落去。咁呢個係我哋目前嘅構思。咁喺呢個過程之中，除咗係嗰個planning， 即係需要做諮詢之外，我哋喺政府內部咧亦都需要好多嘅商討，先至可以達到一個決定話起唔起呢個咁樣嘅場館嘅。嗰條路途都仲係有好多嘅好多步要行。咁而家我哋頭先講咧，即係一個構思嚟嘅啫。
好，我想做一些時間控制。我知道美琴博士會有嘢講，其他委員仲有冇邊位係即係預備有啲意見表達或者問題想問啊？不如我想知道先，就係 Andy、Paul、Kim， 咁仲有冇咧？如果冇，不如咧，我哋就即係講埋曬先啦，然後就即係讓文字事務局回應埋。因為我想就跟住將個討論係。即係暫時總結一下。Mikam，
多謝主席。咁其實我係有少少混亂嘅，即係因為而家有兩個顧問公司，兩個顧問研究喺度，就可以睇到咧，其實兩個嗰個取向都好唔同嘅。因為譬如我哋咧就係好開攤開曬啲嘢啦，咁就讓人去參與去傾嘅。咁好似 Urbis 嗰個就會係多啲係好似一個in-house 嘅 study 咁樣嘅，即係比較傳統嘅一啲顧問嘅即係公司做嘅方法。咁喺啟德第一階段至 1.5 階段咧，其實我都聽到好多聲音咧，就係、是要個體育場館嘅，同埋咧亦都係好贊成咧，就係、是如果呢、這、一個啟德重建啟德再規劃嘅時候咧，佢係應該係有嗰個更新嘅動力喺度嘅，係可以帶動周邊個社區更新嘅。咁所以其實都同頭先Urbis 講嘅係有關係嘅，即係佢哋係可以即係呼應到。咁但係我亦都見過有一啲即係市民佢哋做嘅方案咧係冇體育館嘅，意思即係話咧佢哋嗰個願景裡面咧係冇體育館嘅。咁即係我想問嘅問題就係話，我哋好清楚好似睇到咧就係、似乎起碼各局方面咧，就係、是、有一個咁嘅願景，就係、是、有依一個體育館。可能政府亦都有呢一個願景嘅，即係應該係政府會支持先會抌錢做啦。咁依個係政府嘅願景啦。咁但係喺我哋即係共建維港委員會，我哋做嘅方法咧，我哋希望呢個願景就係一個全香港市民一齊嘅願景。咁然後我哋先至希望，先至會喺呢個地方做一個咁嘅體育館啦。咁問題就係話，如果即係如果啦嚇，即係我哋個規劃過程裡面發覺最後咧，呢、這個體育館都唔，我哋啲市民或者即係參與者咧都唔想個體育館喺喺啟德嗰度出現嘅，即係可能我哋會贊成呢一個願景，即係香港應該有一個另類大型體育館多用途，但係唔喺啟德，即係喺第二度就 OK， 就係唔喺啟德。好似上次飛行學校都係啦，即係佢哋好想有個即係有個飛機場仔咁，但係我哋都好希望香港都有個飛機場仔，不過叫佢去石崗去第二度，即係唔好喺啟德啦咁樣。咁譬如如果有個咁嘅情形之下出現嘅話，咁即係而家係會點咧？即係我哋點樣向公眾解釋咧？即係政府話咗有個願景就一定要做啊，定一話呢一個嘅過程都係應該有佢本身嘅合法性嘅，係即係出嚟市民嗰個願望係會得到尊重嘅咁。即係我驚到時如果發生咁嘅情形，我哋應該即係 HEC 應該點樣去？
呢個問題咧，我就唔肯定 HAB 可唔可以答得到，但係即係站在從 HEC 即係同共建維港委員會嘅角度咧，即係我哋被委任嘅時候就即係我哋並冇收到一個指令話咧，即係我哋一定要即係交到一個貨出嚟咧，係要包括咗有一個一定嘅內容嘅。咁換句話講咧，就即係共建維港委員會唔一定要交到一份嘅嘅圖出嚟係要入，一定要有某樣嘢嘅，咁包括咗即係個大場館咧，咁所以就即係我諗從我哋委員會嗰個角度出發咧，就即係我哋應該冇呢個問題嘅，咁反而我哋應該就會尊重嗰、那個即係政府提出嘅意見，同埋咧公眾同個即係倡議者之間大家去討論嘅時候個過程產生出嚟嘅結果。Andy。
主席，其實我想有 comment 都係有類似先，呢個咁嘅即係考慮喺度咧。我諗其實喺個時間性有少少似乎喺度錯配咁樣，就話 如果我哋即喺個啟德規劃呢一個咁嘅研究之前咧，如果係 HAB 已經有一個清晰嘅一個研究嘅一個結論，俾公眾知道話，第一樣嘢，我哋香港需唔需要一個咁嘅大體，即係大場館？而呢個大場館係唔係亦都已經係 identify 咗最理想係啟德呢一個咁嘅 location 咧？咁我諗即係。我哋就容易好多喺啟德呢個規劃裏面，因為咧我哋今時今日已經去到 stage 2啦。stage 1咧，我哋咧即係頭先即係幾位都講就話，其實都仲有好多唔同公眾嘅期望咧，就係咧第一樣嘢就話係咪我哋要騰出24公頃嚟做呢個場館咧咁樣。如果當初如果係 HAB 喺呢個階段裏面已經俾公眾有一個資料或者有一個即係 idea 咧，就話呢一個。其實可能隨時在啟德區的規劃這個室內裏面已經是 become 一個 part of a brief， 那我想呢我們就容易很多去處理，否則現在去到今時今日呢 stage 2呢其實有一天沒有呢其實呢時間似乎真的錯配了，即是不是應該等埋 HAB 那個即是剛才我們即是有少少似乎有些軟件的問題或者一些即係宏觀少少的問題都未去完全解釋到給公眾呢，我們要決定現在是不是我們要是應該有場館，因為沒有場館，其實這件事都是一個幾大的問號來的。
我相信這個問題可以透過 HAB 政府在第二階段公眾參與的熱烈參與可以有些幫助的。Paul and then Kim.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a few points. The demand for the stadium, you're looking at making it multifunctional, so attracting a lot of other users, which I believe would bring us in direct competition with another user of the harbourfront, the Hong Kong CEC, who has just applied for an expansion of their facilities, or the West Kowloon Cultural District 7 facilities, which are planned there, which are also, there's also a multi-purpose facility in there for entertainment and events and rock concerts. And there is Asia Expo, who's also just building. So to me, there is on this multifunctional aspect, there's a demand issue and a demand to supply issue, which I think is competitive. But I'm not sure whether that is correct to say this is the solution we need, given that we have others coming up. Also, the Bureau has not answered my issue about when Hong Kong will start participating within national sports associations. I had a translation here that says subventing national sports associations in Hong Kong, but I guess in Hong Kong we have city sports associations. The national ones are the Chinese national sports associations, the National Football League and the Basketball League, and not until then, and we really participate as Hong Kong with the other cities, will we get real sports activities in Hong Kong, which is going to draw in our television and get people involved as spectators. When will that happen? And I can see then that a stadium is of that size is really going to be useful. The other point constantly made is that this stadium is going to contribute to harbourfront enhancement. But everybody in a stadium is looking inside to the sports, not outside to the harbour. So to me, it's a very inward directed activity rather than an outward directed, which is making use of the harbour. So to me, harbourfronts are not necessarily, in my mind, the right venues for where people are looking at what happens on the sports field rather than enjoying the use of the harbour. So that to me there is a somewhat of a conflict there. The other argument brought up is urban renewal, but on the other hand you're planning to put this stadium in the middle of a brand new park in a brand new flat piece of land, Kai Tak. We have no urban renewal issue, but we could have urban renewal issues if we'd split it up, those three facilities, and place them in areas where they could help renew the existing urban landscape in Kwun Tong or in other areas, in Kwai Chung, whatever, in other areas where there is a real need for urban renewal. Then the Bureau makes an issue about heavy burden on taxpayers for the future. But I pick up from Nick Brooks' comments, if that's a $40 billion piece of land, then that's a significantly heavy burden on our taxpayers to take 14 hectares and to use that for the development of a commercial venture, similar like we are developing the cultural facilities in West Kowloon. How much of that 24 hectares is really to pay for the, and are there, can we have more flexibility in financing our sports venues? Does it have to be a land swap with cultural, with commercial activities. Again, if you use it for urban renewal, the beneficiaries should be existing hotel operators, existing bars, existing shops, and then it's paid for in a different way. You're using less land. So then my final question, of that 24 hectares, can we be more economical about how much land we're going to use? Can we use it? You only get 8 hectares. Can you do it? Why 24 hectares? It's a land grab. It's a massive land grab, and I'm not sure whether that is consistent with good planning. Just to carve up a big piece of land, say, well, that's yours, and then leave it with that, and then we plan Kitech around it. You know, it's we're going to go about it. Why don't we cut up these facilities and try to have a very integrated planning and have very careful use of our land? We have seen the if you look in Shanghai, you can see this same style of planning. The suggestion of planning that is being on the table is Pudong. Big, wide streets, wide pieces of land, no people in the street. But how about a Puxi style of development, where you go inside an urban area and you get a very small piece of land and you maximize it and it benefits everybody around it, and it's going to be a vibrant environment, not wide, empty fields, big, wide roads people can't get over. And for Hong Kong, and that is, I think we need to get Puxi, Xintiandi around our harbour and not Pudong around our harbour. So that's a different style. And the current planning mechanism of just handing over 24 hectares in Kai Tak, I think is destructive and is going to not necessarily support great planning. And I hope we can have a review of this whole process. Thank you.
Okay, Kim Chan, please.
多謝主席，講埋先啦。係，三點，第一點就係即係馬Andy都講嗰個錯配個問題啦，就係時間方面個問題。如果我哋喺而家階段咧，就拱出個24公頃嘅場館出嚟咧，就講俾市民知啊，我哋嘅全面性嗰個體育發展政策咧，會喺嚟緊未來年先至有㗎，咁而抌出呢個方案咧，就嗰個情況就非常之好混亂嘅。 第二點就係嗰個用地重疊方面，那個資源重疊，就我哋希望就從規劃嗰個角度嚟講，又要小心處理啦。就例如好似阿Paul講嗰個係展館個局展館佢本身嘅展館同埋呢個係呢個會展嗰個功能啊，同埋各方面嘅功能，仲有係喺嗰個處理點樣去處理嗰個所謂係我哋嗰個矛盾，即係上下唔同用途嗰個矛盾嗰個 interface 嘅問題。 尤其是我講緊係，如果4萬人一齊落去嗰個商場，或者係一有大型事項發生嘅時候，嗰個情況係點樣啊？呢樣嘢我哋要考慮到，仲有現有嘅資源，我哋係咪已經係好善用咧？咁呢樣嘢我哋係值得去睇嘅。如果唔係咧，就市民就唔會覺得你呢一個方案係值得要去討論咯。啊，多謝主席。
好，咁剛才大家委員提嘅大部分咧，都係一啲可以繼續討論嘅內容啊，而唔係需要澄清嘅問題嚟嘅。咁所以我建議咧就 HAB 嘅同事或者可以即係記錄呢啲嘅意見啦。咁唔知仲有冇一啲嘅總結你想提一提嘅 Daniel，
或者都想請 Alan 或者回應少少，不過之前咧想講話多用途嗰樣嘢咧，就當然即係譬如話搞一啲展覽啊，或者係其他嗰啲嘅大型嘅國際會議啊，其實係可以用到嘅。咁但係至於係將來嗰個嘅可持續嘅 sustainability 啊嗰啲咧，同埋個 funding 咧，我哋會再研究啦。當然，咁但係咧都有一個點咧，可以即係補充同埋考慮下咧，就係所謂嘅多用途咧，就係我哋着重有一個可接合式嘅蓋咧，咁就可以喺唔同嘅天氣嘅情況底下咧，都可以用到嗰個大型體育館嘅。譬如就算譬如話落雨或者係夜晚咁樣，又可以即係處理到嘅，譬如話嗰個噪音個問題咁樣。咁呢個係即係多用途體育館嘅其中一個嘅意義咧。咁就至於話我哋所謂嘅 National Sports Association， 即係而家嘅體育總會咁樣咧，咁其實而家我哋即係政府每年都投入好大嘅資源咧，就對呢啲嘅總會咧提供資助咁樣嘅，咁就俾佢哋即係搞活動啊，甚至係搞一啲嘅訓練啊嗰啲咁，而家已經係做緊㗎啦。咁至於 點樣可以增強嗰個 waterfront 嗰個使用咧？其實就我哋頭先講咧，都係一個嘅 urban design 嗰個 concept 啦。咁就urban renewal， 頭先其實阿 Piano 都有提過，其實就係擺呢一個嘅體育館咧，亦都可以帶動到周圍嘅地方嘅更新嗰樣嘢咧。咁就至於嗰、那個financing 咧，即係我哋希望多啲嘅私人公司、私人嘅企業啊，或者係private sector 嚟到參與啦。咁就即係令到除咗係令到個納税人嘅負擔冇咁重之外，咧都其實係鼓勵多啲嘅私人公司參與呢個體育發展咁樣嘅。咁就其實係所謂體育產業化呢一個概念咧，就喺好多嘅唔同嘅地方都已經做緊，同埋都好成功咁樣。咁就其實係我哋回應翻我哋其中一個理念咧，就是、希望體育可以帶動，即係同經濟嘅發展係互相配合嘅。咁至於嗰、那個24公頃嗰個係咪太大咧？其實即係我哋都有講過啦，就一般大型嘅體育場地，即係咁大嘅體育館咧，就對最低限度都要18至19公頃咁樣。咁其他嗰啲咧就係、是、要配合翻另外一個 indoor sports 嘅 arena 啦，同埋一啲嘅 buffer 嘅地方咁。咁點解有一啲 buffer 咧？咁就即係大家都可以理解到啦，譬如有4萬多人嘅一個大型嘅活動，當佢要做一啲嘅人群嘅疏導啊嗰方面咧，就即係有一個多啲嘅 buffer 嘅地方咧，就係、是、保障到參與者嘅同埋即係公眾嘅安全咁樣嘅。咁至於即係而家嘅時間嗰度咧，就即係我哋而家係都係已經做緊一個嘅整體嘅體育政策嘅發展個過程咧，咁我哋其實就今年已經成立咗呢個體育委員會，咁呢個咧就會係促進呢一個過程嘅。啊，咁Alan 有冇啲咩補充？
Mr. McDonald，
thank you. I just want to reiterate, nobody's made any decision about 24 hectares. That's an absolute maximum at this time, just for planning purposes. There's no rubber stamp on 24 hectares.We're looking into this, and we will try to ascertain what area of land will be required. We looked at urban stadia elsewhere and the sort of land take that they've had. Paul's absolutely right. Design can be made to fit different site sizes to a certain extent, because there are certain evacuation criteria related to stadia.The tiering of the stadia has to be at specific angles, not just for sight lines but also for safety. Evacuation and safety are critical issues. Since the Hillsborough disaster some 30 years ago, stadia have been designed with extreme caution because of the safety issues. And this is why you need a certain amount of space around stadia these days for evacuation purposes. I wouldn't design the Hong Kong Stadium again. That would not fit modern criterion. In terms of urban renewal, I think there are a lot of degraded areas around the Kai Tak area which could well benefit from the introduction of a stadium. Certainly, that's been proven in various locations. The London Olympic site is a vast site that hosts of spin-offs well beyond the perimeters of the Olympic Village. I think the same could apply certainly in the case of Kai Tak.The loss of value to land, well, I think, you know, you look at the sites that I showed you in the presentation, the majority of these are in prime sites, because people recognize the value attached to sports and amplifying the need to develop sports. Moreover, the stadium itself becomes an iconic element within the urban environment. There's no better example than that with the Cardiff Millennium Stadium. It was given over, certainly, by government,and government participated in the building of the stadium on almost a PPP basis. In terms of conflicts with other planned facilities, one wouldn't want to do that. The types of facilities that would go on, the type of events that would go on at the stadium would not be akin to those of other areas. It's unlikely that Hong Kong would ever have probably a stadium-type rock show. There's very few. The number of stadium-type rock shows are declining anyway throughout the world.So in terms of musical events and so on, I doubt very much whether we would have that. The typical events that you would have within a stadium environment are very much akin to those you would see at the Millennium Stadium, where you would have, say, motorcycling events within the stadium, stunt events, monster car races, and even at the Millennium Stadium just now they're about to host a rally. The starting point of a car rally is going to be from there. So the types of events will be very, very different than you would have at, say, the Asia World Expo or at the Hong Kong International Exhibition Centre. So in terms of multifunctional, that's the way stadia are going. They have to be multifunctional event spaces, otherwise they simply don't survive. In terms of 40,000 people rushing into a commercial centre, of course, that doesn't happen. You'd simply design that out of the whole issue. But what does happen, very interestingly, in the context of a lot of stadia, is they do create on-benefits after the event is finished. Recent studies have shown that people do tend to stay within the area for some time afterwards, particularly if there are event spaces there, like, for example, entertainment facilities, cinema facilities, eating and dining venues, and so on. So there can be fairly long-term spin-offs from that. It doesn't happen so much directly adjacent to the Hong Kong Stadium right now, but if you had in Kai Tak a whole series of event spaces and facilities, that would make it an interesting place to go. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald。我建議我哋對於個綜合體育大場館嘅討論咧，就即係暫時討論到呢度啦。咁我淨係想喺總結嘅時候咧，就提翻大家委員咧，係喺舊嗰一份嘅規劃圖裏邊咧，係有呢個體育大場館喺度。咁但係喺舊嘅規劃圖裏邊咧，亦都有133公頃嘅填海得嚟嘅用地啊。咁呢133公頃咧就夠你起五個大場館噶啦，咁但係而家我哋冇咗呢133公頃嘅用地，咁所以我哋現在係做緊一個即係再規劃嘅過程啊。咁呢個再規劃裏邊咧就肯定有啲過往規劃咗嘅土地利用咧係我哋需要去修改嘅。咁例如喺現在嘅啟德，我哋肯定知道咧就過往規劃嘅房屋嘅土地咧就應該會減少噶。咁過往有個好大嘅公園啊，都會公園，我哋都可能需要將佢即係大幅咁去修改。咁因此個場館咧就我哋現在並冇任何結論嘅。咁但係假如喺跟住嘅規劃裏邊，我哋想將佢繼續保留喺度咧，咁係。我哋需要更加多嘅了解，同埋都我會鼓勵咧，除咗民政事務局之外啊，我哋委員會亦都可以有多啲機會同埋個體育界咧各方面去交流，去溝通一下，咁知道體育界嗰方面嘅聲音係點樣。咁除非大家有好即係覺得非講不可嘅有關呢個大場館啊，否則就Raymond 仲有冇最後嘅嘢想補充啊？Anthony 嚇。
主席，我都想補充翻少少資料，即係頭先阿 Andy 同阿 Kim Chan 都講翻嗰個即係時間嘅問題，即係我哋依家開始已經即係差唔多進入第二階段嘅公眾參與嘅活動啦。咁就好似民政事務處嘅研究依家先開始，咁會唔會係即係時間上即係配合得唔係咁好咧？咁樣頭先你指出得好啱啊！喺我哋嗰個現時嘅分區計劃圖咧，根本我哋已經預留咗24公頃。作為多用途那個運動場的，咁我喺我哋第一階段嘅公眾參與方面咧，亦都向市民咧就顯示咗呢樣咁嘅意圖嘅，咁亦都喺市民嘅參與活動方面咧，亦都有好多市民咧就贊成咧啟德咧應該有一個多用途嘅運動場嘅。咁依家佢民政事務處嗰個研究咧，我諗就係再確定下呢個設施同埋嗰個所需要嘅土地用途嗰個面積究竟有幾多咧咁樣。咁我諗喺我哋嗰個第二階段嗰個公眾參與嘅時間，或者去到第三階段咧，仲有好多機會咧，我哋作出適當嘅修訂嘅。多謝主席。
好多謝啊 ，Anthony。好咁我哋跟住去到議程最後一項係其他事項啦。咁我有兩點想提一提。